You're listening to The Power of Us on Revolver Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of The Power of Us. This is Abel.
And this is his wife, for the time being, Rosie.
Oh, for the time being.
Okay. You never know.
Please elaborate. What's going on?
Well, we're in quarantine.
We've been in quarantine way too damn long, but please elaborate what the time being meant.
You know what's going on.
What do I know that's going on?
You know that it hasn't been all roses and chocolates.
No. Have you ever heard of that Outkast song? The one about roses really smell like boo. That's what it feels like right now.
Really?
Yes, that is what it feels like. We've been in quarantine way too long, the way you probably have.
It started March 17th, maybe.
What started March 17th? Oh, yeah. Like
officially, safer at home.
All right. We were cool, like, all the way up until the half point.
No more, I think. For me, this started, like, 3 weeks ago. Oh, I guess it is the half point.
Yeah. It's like we climbed the mountain, we reached the pinnacle, we planted the little flag, and then we decided to just roll down the mountain. We didn't even walk down. We just decided to just hop on a little sled and kind of just let things roll down. And
I think you're rolling down. I think I tried to jump off the cliff.
You try to jump off the cliff, really?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's what happens. I don't know you guys. I know a lot of people have been having issues in their marriage. A lot of our friends that are vulnerable and have mentors, we're all in this marriage class, and you know, have you heard them? I mean, if you just kind of read in between the lines, and some are straight out or like, we're having issues.
Yeah. Yeah. I got a little bothered that we were in this marriage class, and there was this one little...
All through Zoom.
Yeah. And there was this one couple from London, and they were talking with their really cool London accents, talking about that they were in their...
In their patio, in the garden, and they were reading.
They were just reading a passage from Proverbs, and I was like, and they just seemed, they seemed like they were like really happy or whatnot.
Yeah, I guess
I didn't hear no little kids in the background, so that probably sneezing. That probably makes a difference.
But, that was our son.
But no, yeah, I mean, it's that point where I think a lot of us are getting tension. Honestly, well, I think we're way too. Like, we have zero time to miss each other, babe. And, like, we're, like, way too much in each other's presence.
I try to run away from you, but then you come into the closet.
What are you talking about?
It's my closet.
Okay, you're at your closet. Oh, my bad.
Good job. That's my husband.
I'm at my desk. You're at the closet. I'm at my desk. What are you talking about? We're just in the same
room.
I can hear you. You can hear me breathing. All right. I'm very sorry that you can hear me breathing.
Well, honestly, it has been... Eli, please stop. That's, again, son, we can't make them go away. You can't either. So everyone understands. They're listening. Okay, so the kids bring problems, but they're also the reason we've stayed together.
Yes. Like, I thought about it. We went through nothing like reason to get a divorce, just like we got like super duper fed up. I don't know. I guess it is a reason or something like that, but we just got really fed up with each other. It wasn't like one thing happened and then like everything broke and
So when people talk about wanting to get a divorce, a lot of, especially with known people.
What the heck is going on with this guy?
He sounds like he's having a horrible dream, but he's awake. Okay. So I don't know. We got into a bad enough argument that we wanted a divorce, but sometimes people think that believers or Christians should only want a divorce if there's been cheating, right?
Right.
Or if there's some type of abuse. And if our mentor would ask us, well, we'd say, no, there is no abuse and there is no cheating.
No.
So why I asked for the divorce, I at minimum asked for a break. And for the first time ever, I'm just really happy that you were honest, that you thought about it too.
See, what I did, fellas, is I pulled the reversal card.
That's what you were doing?
I finally gave it to her. And then when I said it, you know what? Fine, I want it too. And then her eyes changed. And that's when everything...
That's such a lie. No, they didn't. Don't lie to our friends.
Then she got scared and she backed down because she's just a lot of bark.
So, no, I don't want you to leave. No.
But so, I mean, it's like, honest, it was just, it's just a lot of us together.
You said it, that you were willing to pray about getting divorced.
Yes.
And then you didn't want to pray about getting a divorce.
No, I did want to pray about getting. I'm the one that led the prayer. I'm the one that said, let's pray.
Okay, and then?
What do you mean, and then?
Then we ended up getting in an argument anyway.
Yes, we did. Let me give some context to the situation. So in marriages, there are the pet peeves or the things that are just always around that don't go away on both sides. Well, if you're over here saying that I don't like this about my man, I don't like this about him, that about him, we have the same thing too, you know? Guys can't stand this about their girl, this and that or whatnot. But they learn to love with them, and like we're a lot more quiet about it. I think that's
just because you're quiet about it doesn't mean you learn to live with it. You could be quiet about it and be super frustrated, and then bam, it comes out 6 months later.
What is the bam?
Bam is like when you use it at precisely the right moment. When I'm already sad because we're fighting, or I'm mad at you because of something you did, but you use it at that moment so that in your mind we're equals. Like, yeah, I messed up today, but you messed up 6 months ago.
Okay. Well, so she asked me, like, why are we together? Why aren't we divorced? And I'm like, because I mean, I told her, like, we're always going in cycles. That's what I said.
Yep.
That's what I said. Yep. And that really hurt her because my wife has been trying like extra differently, extra hard for these last 4 to 6 months.
Yeah.
Ever since she started taking
life coaching
classes or whatnot. Mm-hmm. And I've seen a big change in it. But you know what? Things pop off and we see some tendencies that go back on both of us, because I did take like one of those life coaching things, and it really did help me see the world a little bit differently. And so she bounces back or whatnot. And when she bounced back once, I was in a bad mood or sick of quarantine. And I told her, we always go back to it. And that just kind of just shattered her world, because she genuinely was trying really, really hard. And for me to like kind of discredit everything that she's gone through, I understand why she felt that way. So she felt that way, and it kind of just went downhill from there.
Yeah.
Really, really fast.
What else did you say?
What do you mean?
What did you say?
That I didn't want to help you do your closet? Is that it? Or what?
Right? No, after that.
What?
That not helping me do the closet is what started the fight.
Yes, that is what started the fight. So she asked me to help her she wanted to fix up her closet because she does lives in there. And I get it. I get it 100%. She wanted it to look nicer. But there was no way that we were going to get more shelves right now, because I don't know how to cut wood. And there's like no like closet world or anything like that could do it. Okay. Uh-huh. And I said, I don't want to figure out how to cut wood, babe. That's what I pretty much was trying to say. But okay. Uh-huh. And what was the other thing? Please enlighten me, because I forgot.
Well, the closet got done.
We did it together. We did it. But we didn't do what was the plan. So that was the other thing.
There was no plan.
There used to be a plan.
And then quarantine happened.
Yeah, because we had somebody come out here and measure. And my wife wanted more shelves. And we were like, all right, cool. And so we had the plan. We moved it. So if you guys follow my wife, you would have noticed that like for, I don't know, two weeks.
Empty space.
It was like two empty holes in her background.
That now shelves. Looks really great. And you guys have noticed. And it's gorgeous.
Yes.
And even you want to do lives in there. And you want to do your Zoom calls.
Yeah, I want to do lives in there. Like the girly room with candles and flowers and stuff like that. Yes.
Well, after we finally did it together, there was a fight previous, but we still did it together. They must have turned on the alarm.
Yeah.
Hold on one sec.
So yeah, so there was a fight previous to that, and we try to work it out, but I mean it's just stuff that's been going on in this quarantine where nothing feels like it is as it should be. Like everything's a little bit bizarre, I think, in quarantine, because you're doing stuff, but it doesn't feel like you're doing it the way it was supposed to be done or the way it was done before quarantine started. And I don't know why. Maybe because the kids are always around and you can't really ever do something by yourself.
Yeah, that's true. Go ahead. So after the argument, after the closet, we kept arguing. You know, you'd think maybe the argument's over too, but it's not with me. And you said that you didn't believe in me anymore. And that's what hurt the most.
Yes.
Both things. The fact you had
I don't know how that came up, but yes, I did say that. Okay. I don't know like what thing that was. But
I think the continuous us going back to this cycle, I think since the 4 or 5 months that we both have been trying really hard because of Viva Now, because of life coaching, we got better so there was less fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And there, to me, there was more peace. And so I thought we were getting better. And then you said we were getting better. Mm-hmm. And then we had, ponle, I think I count like 4, 5 arguments in that time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This one was getting bad again in that we were saying things that we didn't say anymore. We were acting ways that we didn't act anymore. Like the jabs were getting deeper and just unnecessary stuff. So we weren't there anymore. I mean, even if we'd have an argument, we'd be like, oh man, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I didn't mean it, whatever.
Yeah.
But this time the fight started to look like the way it used to before.
Yeah.
So then you said that we always come into this cycle. And I'm like, mm-hmm. always? And you're like, yes, we're always going to come back to this. It's always going to be like this. Your anger is never going to change. Mm-hmm. And then I said, you don't think I've changed? And you said, no. And I don't believe. And I think I asked you if you would believe in me. If you didn't believe I was changing, and you said, no, I don't believe you are.
Mm-hmm.
I think that really hurt, because I don't know if I'm wrong or if I'm right, but I want you to believe in me if it's for you. And maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I should be so set on like God and me and what I'm doing that I don't need your approval. I don't need you to say, yes, you're changing. I don't need you to say, yes, you're better. Maybe I shouldn't. But just to be honest, because you're my husband, I do.
Yeah.
I mean, other people have told me way worse things. I mean, I don't believe in you is it's not the coolest thing, but it's not nothing like abusive or offensive or like mm-hmm. you're trash or nothing. But it is like to me, because other people have said worse. You're a thief, yeah. Rosie, or whatever. And I'm just like, I don't care. Like, mm-hmm. who is this person? But it's the influence that you have over my life as my husband, and the fact that I'm doing this not for you, but mm-hmm. indirectly for you. If I get right. better, then our marriage gets better.
Right.
And hopefully you're happy. And I just felt like, you know what? He's probably
right. If there's anybody
right.
you do it for, it's for your family.
Right. And if yeah. we're always going into this cycle,
mm-hmm.
which is true, and he doesn't believe in me, then what's the point of doing it?
Right.
But if I don't have a point of doing it anymore, then why be together? So I was just like, well, right. then let's just get divorced.
Right. And you mentioned like, I don't know if you should want me to believe in you.
Yeah.
But I think you should. Because if you look at it on like a sports perspective, if the coach doesn't believe in the quarterback yeah, and the true. Quarterback knows that, then like no le da las ganas. He's like, I'm gonna get traded.
Isn't he like in Florida or something?
Okay, there's no reason to talk about like Tom Brady right now. Let's just stay on subject. See, right, this is another thing about our fights.
They got a divorce.
We always jump off
Brady
subject.
And that Trapocalypse. Right? What's his name?
Okay, Belichick.
Belichick.
There's
guy
no point
got
to
got
talk about this. No, none of our listeners even know. Okay,
yes,
maybe one. Do. Maybe one.
She can right? tell her husband too.
All right, so. It's like sports. If the coach doesn't believe in the quarterback and the quarterback knows that, then like it's not going to be good, because he's not going to go out there and do the best job. Or even on the contrary, LeBron doesn't believe in so many of his coaches that he gets them fired.
Yeah, true.
And he basically coaches the team himself, and that looks terrible too.
Yeah.
You know? And so yes, it is a good thing to want your husband or your spouse to believe in you. It is a good thing for it to be reciprocal. Because even with a guy, we don't say it too much, but hell yeah, we want our women to believe in us when we say, we're going to invest in this business, babe, you know, or I'm going to do this, babe, you know, or I'm going to take you here, that kind of stuff. And
okay, so that's what set me back. Because it really, okay, so maybe I should want you to care. I should want you to believe in me, but I let it take me down so far that I didn't believe in me anymore. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's where I went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, well, he doesn't believe in me and it's sad and it sucks and it makes me not want to try, or maybe I should take a break. But I really, really got to a point of like, yeah, Rosie, you'll never change. Like that's, you'll never. And then I even get to the point of like, well, then I don't believe in the God that can change me.
Mm.
So anyway, it wasn't like we fought every single day, because I'd be like, you know what? Just be his friend. Like, yeah. We're in quarantine. we even still had sex. We were still hanging out with the kids. It was just like, I'm not allowing myself to get close to him. I'm not looking him in the eye. So it wasn't even like we're not talking, there's silence. It's, which to me is like, at least that's better.
Yeah.
But what started happening was, even though it looked like it was better on the inside, I was really detaching. And I think that's dangerous, my friends, girls, that we can do that. We can really detach and on the outside still be like, all right, yeah, I'll still have sex with you. Yeah, I'll still cook for you. Yeah, I'll even still watch a Netflix show with you and take care of the kids. But on the inside, you're detaching. And I say that that's dangerous because if you allow that to go super far, there could be a breakup, which my husband says it's now time for a break. Is that what you were saying? Were you saying breakup or a break?
No, break. We'll be right back and we'll keep going on with this conversation.
Hey, babe, did you hear that another man was accused of sexual assault in Hollywood?
Seriously, it makes me so happy that women are speaking up. That's why I wrote My Broken Pieces, and you can find it on rosierivera.com.
All right, guys, welcome back. We're talking about, just to keep it really straight up, is the hardships that's happening because we're spending so much time together. This isn't even about, like, the coronavirus.
Yeah, no.
Like,
the fear, the stress, the
it's
money.
Like, yeah, it's like whether... It's just spending so much time together sometimes can be...
Because I cannot believe we got into a fight over a closet. We've had some pretty dumb fights, but I'm like, dude, we literally had a fight this big over a closet.
Yeah. And, like, it wasn't the closet. Like, in retrospective, like, it wasn't necessarily the closet. It's just like the closet opened up something that opened up so many...
That was really unexpected. That I really didn't know would come up. It was really, really unexpected. And now I'm sorry for it, but then I'm also glad because we pulled through. Obviously, we're not divorced. We were praying about getting divorced, which is a whole new thing.
Yeah.
But I really got to open up my heart to you and let you know I need you to believe in me. And if you don't, I get it because it's my anger issue that he doesn't believe in. It's not like Rosie selling books or Rosie being a preacher. It's like, Rosie, I don't know if your anger will ever change. And
yeah.
The reason I bring this up, ladies, is because sometimes we don't have a cap on our anger. We let it go wild and we think he's used to it. He'll forgive it. He's put up with it for so long. His mama was like that. His grandma was like that. Latinas are like that. Whatever excuse you're making, there is no excuse. You have to put a cap on your anger because he will get to a point where he's either tired or he pulls away from you. Or he stops believing that you can ever put a cap on your anger.
Yeah.
So I just didn't put a cap on my anger over the closet. I didn't mean to. I was really, really hurt and sad that I didn't feel like you wanted to help me. And even then, there's no excuse.
Like, yeah. Even like at the same time, though, like the reason why you were upset was because I didn't communicate with you what I felt about the closet.
Yeah.
As far as like, there's nothing I can do. I never told you like, babe, I don't know how to cut wood. I don't have the tools for it. We're going to invest so much more than what we would pay somebody else to do it. We just have to hold on. Like, I didn't have that conversation with you at all.
Yeah.
In my head, it was just like, oh, it's obvious. It's quarantine. They can't come and do it. So we just got to sit here and wait. There's nothing we can do.
Yeah.
But in your head, you're like, there is stuff that we can do. And there was.
And granted,
and I got to be honest with you.
I tried to wait. Like,
yeah.
I waited even 2-3 weeks before the quarantine. It's like, I want the closet done. It's too expensive. We have to find someone. And so I tried to. And then sometimes I wait patiently, impatient. Like, because if it doesn't happen, I'm just going to pop off. And ladies, we have to be really careful about that too. If you're waiting patiently, if you're waiting for him, don't put a limit on it to where like, but if it takes 3 weeks and a day, then I get to explode. Because sometimes we do that. No, live each day at a time. It didn't get done in the 3 weeks. Let him know. And then take a decision based on that, you know, whether you're going to do it on your own or you're going to ask him again, whatever it may be. But don't hold the 3 weeks, the four weeks, the 5 weeks, and let you pop off even more.
That's just build up.
And then say, oh, but because I waited 5 weeks, I get to get even more mad than if it had been 2 days.
Right.
And I'm saying that with such vulnerability, ladies, because I've caught myself doing it. And I'm not saying we do it on purpose, but you have to at least be aware of what you're doing so that you can stop doing it.
Right. So her thing, or my thing against her, was anger. And then her thing with me was communication, which is what a lot of us go through, especially men. We don't share our feelings. We don't share just things. And you ladies want to know, like,
just info.
Just to know, yeah.
Just info of like, well, were you thinking of doing it? Or
even
what
like
if we can...
The emotional state of why we're doing it and stuff like that. And like, if you really break it down, you're not asking for... A lot. Honestly, what you are is you just want to quote unquote know us or know our heart or like.
It can also be basic stuff too, though, babe, because I know sharing emotionally is deeper and it's harder, but I think it can begin with like, if you couldn't cut wood, you could have told me that and I could have said, well, I have another idea. Are you willing mm-hmm. to hear it? Like, yeah. What if we move the shelves that we already have?
Yeah.
It's not what I wanted before, but I'm willing to change that idea. Yeah. I don't need more shelves. I just need the shelves that we have to be behind me. And yeah. then that could have created more ideas, which is what we ended up doing. So it's not always just sharing your heart, because I know that can be scary and difficult. Mm-hmm. And women, we don't know how hard that can be for your man. Mm-hmm. So I think we can begin with sharing the basics. I was yeah. waiting 3 weeks. I was waiting and waiting. And I kind of asked you like, hey, what about the closet? And you're like, nothing. And yeah. okay. And I was like, well, can we do something else? Can we do this? Can we do that? And there was just like silence from you. So it would have helped just the basic information, not even feelings of like, I just don't know what to do with it, Rosie. I'm blank. What do mm-hmm. you mean? I don't have any ideas. And that could have helped my waiting time, because what I just told our friends about the 3 weeks and the anger building and building,
yeah.
you can simmer it down by like giving me some info and bringing logic back into me of like, yeah. Rosie, but the wood, and now, oh, you're right. Dang it. Okay. Well, you know, and that logic, that explanation, that help helps my anger come down, because then I'm not mm-hmm. just letting my mind go wild of he doesn't care, his space, my space. If his looks all beautiful, mine looks all ugly. Like, yeah. I think the more silent you are, the more my internal negative thoughts go wild.
Yeah.
So just, you know, and I know, babe, sometimes you have to repeat yourself, and I know that must be annoying, but it really mm-hmm. helps cap yeah. my anger. So anyway, that's what happened, friends. Yeah. And
we're still getting through that and stuff like that. It's not like we're in a much better space
yeah.
than we were before. But the whole point of us even sharing that with you guys is to let you know that you're not alone.
Yes.
So if you're going through this right now, if you and your spouse are like fighting and you don't understand like what is like going on.
You can't even pinpoint it.
Like
anymore.
Yeah, like it doesn't make any sense. Why is everything just popping off and it's bad and everybody's having these weird, crazy feelings than they were before quarantine and stuff like that. Just know that you're not alone.
Yeah.
And that God is the God of the impossible.
Yes.
And so if right now everything seems like it's impossible for us to stay together, it's impossible.
We
for
should
us.
Have never.
Yeah.
You know, we never could. Someone else would be easier. Yeah. Whatever. All those thoughts. I don't want to call them normal. They come from the enemy, but they are common. It is a common attack that the enemy uses to make you think like, if I hadn't have married, if we would have gotten married later, if we didn't have kids, mm-hmm. all this stuff. You know, you still love this person and he still loves you. But mm-hmm. what Abel and I did that hopefully will work for you would just be we decided to pray about it.
Yeah.
Like Abel and I, we've noticed we're not on one accord. One accord means you don't agree. Yeah. So we didn't agree about the closet, and then it blows up to like we don't even agree about what show to watch or our life or how to raise the kids. So I try and be in agreement. Mm. It can even be to agree to disagree of like, okay, I don't agree, but we're in agreement that we don't disagree, that we disagree and we have to fight about it. So crazy, Abel and I in this whole fight, we agreed that divorcing right now wouldn't be correct. Like right now in this very moment during quarantine, you know what? Nothing is normal. We're in distress. Yeah. We're in pain. We're in this weird situation. Do not make a life-changing decision now. Hang mm-hmm. in there. Call a truce. Yeah. We literally called a truce and said, I don't want to keep fighting with you. Just we'll fix it later when we have a mentor in person. Mm-hmm. What we can do is agree to pray about it.
Yeah.
Because I was so set on like, we should get a divorce, we should get a divorce, we should get a divorce. And Abel's like, okay, well, I've at least thought about it. I'm not ready to pull the trigger, but maybe we can pray about it.
Yeah.
And that sounds really weird, friends, for two Christian people to be praying about getting a divorce. I understand. In the moment, it seemed like this is all we have.
Yeah.
And at least it wasn't pulling the trigger on something that could have devastating results for us and mm-hmm. for the kids and for everyone. So we started praying about it. And even in the prayer, I kind of felt like, is this the right thing to pray about? Like, mm-hmm. And then in that brought up the conversation of like, well, maybe our prayer should change.
Yeah.
What is the next prayer? And at least it got us on an even platform
yeah.
where we could at least agree on what we were praying about.
Right.
That was the first thing. The second thing was we weren't going to stop doing what we know works. Yes, we're upset. Yes, we're annoyed. Yes, we might even be separated a year from now. But we've been praying every single morning. We've been sharing the word. And we were still going to continue to do that.
Yeah.
So even if we were mad, like, hey, you still want to pray? Yeah, I'm going to go in there and pray with mm-hmm. you. And it wouldn't mix up with the closet argument or any of the arguments.
Yeah.
It was just like, that's our God time. We're going to keep doing it. So there are good things that you are doing with your couple. I pray that it's praying and reading the Bible. If you're not there, though, that's okay. Say
yeah.
you guys are still watching Netflix. Say you guys are still having dinner together with the family. Continue to do those good things, because sometimes we make the huge mistake of taking everything away.
Right.
Where one fire, where one tree burning burns down the whole forest. You don't
yeah.
have to do that.
No.
The fact that we continued to pray together and be in God's presence together really helped us to get to the point where we're like, okay, well, we'll pray about getting a divorce. And while we were praying, God, I just felt our prayer should change. And our prayer has changed. And we're not 100%, if we could say that, but we're definitely not where we were a few days ago or last week.
No, no way.
And I think we're learning and we're growing. And if next time we have an argument, we could be like, hey, can we just still continue to pray? Can we pray about, I don't know, pray about this together before we decide to keep talking? Just anything, just coming up with new innovative ways to come into agreement, I think is what I'm saying.
I agree. I think those are really great points, babe. Just know you're not alone, honestly. And it's okay that you guys are going through stuff, but just don't make any decisions right now. You can't. You can't, because you're not in a normal state. And, you know, no, nobody's in their correct state. Nobody's in their right place. Or like, oh, the worst thing you can do is make a decision right now and then everything goes back to normal. And you're like, oh, crap. Like, I think I made a wrong decision. Like, this decision probably would have happened if we would have stayed there for the rest of our lives, like in this situation.
Yeah.
But things are going to go back to normal. And I think a lot of us can make some decisions that we can really regret in this time. So it's about still staying still. We said that advice, like in the beginning of quarantine, don't make any harsh decisions. Don't make any quick decisions right now. And more than ever, it's a time to try to be united as possible. It's a time to try your best to be united as possible and be like, hey, like more empathy than ever. Try to work together, because it's getting harder because it hasn't changed. And like the 15th, at least in Los Angeles, is coming up. But in reality, nothing's going to change.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, nothing's going to change either. Casualidad, like for some coincidence, they opened up flower shops before Mother's Day. You know,
it was
an economic thing, and it just so
happened. Thank God,
in LA.
And I'm happy for florists.
Me too. Me too. I'm not saying that,
but
I'm just saying, like, really, like florists are cool, but not like, you know, barbers,
teachers, painters, you know? Barbers. Yeah,
because I mean, they're touching the flowers, and then we're touching them. You know, I don't know. It's not my place. But what I'm trying, the whole point is, it's not really changing that much on the 15th. Everything kind of stays the same. We're still kind of at home. We're still just opening up little by little. It's going to take time. And even then, depending on what job you have, if you're working at a stadium, God knows when that's going to open back up. And so you might be at home for a good long while.
Whatever change happens, it's going to come slowly.
Yeah.
And so take your life slowly. You know, take your decisions slowly. Especially your decisions in distress and in pain and in anger. Gosh, please, let's not ever make decisions. And I am saying that from the person that does it. I'm not saying it because, oh, that's Abel. No, that's me saying, Rosie, please stop making decisions in anger. Have a game plan for when you get mad. I know that sounds really weird, but I have a game plan when I get mad. I'm like, go hide in your closet, walk away, shut your mouth, turn on music. Like, I will literally tell myself, what's the game plan? And I'll look around, and it sounds really silly, but when you're angry and you see black, when you're angry and you don't know how to control it, focus on something you know, whatever it can be. I know running, I know reading, I know praying. I'm going to go there. And even though it seems silly, I promise you that if you try it, Because Abel, you reminded me yesterday when you said, hey, you were doing really well, you'd go back into the closet. And I know it sounds silly, but I'm like, oh my God, I forgot. I forgot what my focus point was.
Yeah, no, it's happening to me too.
So, you know, remember what your focus point is. And instead of continuing to fight, go back to that place. I know a healthy place and it's my closet. I'm going to go back to that healthy place rather than letting my mouth and my mind run wild. And so I'm really glad we're not divorcing. I'm glad you didn't let me. I'm glad. Thank you for having patience.
Yeah.
We said we were here for the kids, but I think once we calm down and all the dust settles, we're like, no, like, we're here for each other and we know that. There's no one else I'd rather be with, do this marriage thing with, and there's no one else I'd rather share my life with. It's just, please remember those things. And when the dust settles, please say them. Because you say a lot of things when you're mad. And just, I know you think nothing will erase it, nothing will reverse it. But I think you can. If you just say, hey, I didn't mean it, that I didn't believe in you. I do believe in you.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if you're on the other end, please believe it. Why continue to fight and say, I don't believe it, you meant it? Just believe it.
Sometimes you just got to dig through. If you're on the other end of the stubbornness or the upset or they hurt you and stuff like that, sometimes you got to just really dig through. And what's the right thing for me to do? What is the best thing for me to do? What should I really be doing instead of being in my feelings, instead of being prideful, instead of being upset? What is beneficial? You know, because you being upset and distancing yourself doesn't protect you.
Well, we thought of the verse that came up to our head that really opened up for us was laying down our life for our friends.
Mm.
You know, that was what Jesus did for us. And in Ephesians 5, I think it is, Paul and the Lord, the Holy Spirit, lets us know, like, husbands, lay down your life for your wife. Love her the way Christ did, where he laid down his life for the church.
Yeah.
And then women, respect your husband. Because I asked God, okay, does that mean I lay my down life for him? Do I lay my down life, my life for him? And God said, you usually already do it. Women were wired like that, usually. But you don't respect him.
Mm.
So just respect him, and that'll have the same effect on him of him laying down his life for you and helping you and loving you and caressing you. He really just wants your respect, wife.
Amen.
So please read Ephesians 5 and just have the Lord speak to you about what you can do rather than just focusing on what your husband is doing wrong.
Awesome. Great job, babe. We hope that this podcast ministered to you and that you can take something from this today. If you're going through the exact same thing, if you are not, then keep this one in your back pocket, because you never know when things might get hard, whether if it's now or a year from now, or whatever it might be. Let's pray, and then we're going to get out of here.
Okay.
Thank you, God, for this opportunity to be able to minister to these people that listen to us. I ask you, God, I just pray for each and every marriage right now that may be going through struggle, that may be going through strife, that may be going through problems. In Jesus' name, we declare, Lord, that whatever the enemy tries to put through us, in us, around us, to separate us, will not prosper, and that you, God, will use it for good. That this right now that they're going through right now, Father God, they will be able to look back and say, this is for good because we are now stronger. This is for good because we are now closer. This is for good because now we are better. We are different. We learned from it. We didn't just go through something again. We learned from it. And I pray, God, that that can happen today. I pray that can happen now, from here on out. And I pray, Lord, that whether they're going to get better after this podcast or a week from now or whenever it happens, I pray, Lord, that you can be with them the entire step of the way. I thank you, God, so much again for this podcast. And I pray, Lord, that I can keep blessing people's lives.
Thanks.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We love you guys.
Love
and
you
we'll
guys.
See you guys next week.